The 382nd edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54-53, North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan, jumper from out on the left, good! Oh, way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout, Technical foul on Michigan. They're out of timeout.
Front court, Williams on the drive. Gets it back out to him. Long outside shot. Short rebounded. May, it's over! Carolina has won the national championship! 89-72, and how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champions.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national daggum champions.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome into another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Hanging out with you guys on a Thursday night. We are powered by Carolina Electrical Services. Josh and Anthony, we're back with you guys once again, and we've got a fully loaded show for you guys tonight. As Carolina's activity in the transfer portal, it's definitely, you know, moved up a notch, and it's really gotten into full gear. We anticipated this as we got away from the Final Four. The sport kind of dies the Friday before the Final Four until the Tuesday after the national championship game. And now that all that is well behind us, teams are busy getting ready for next season. And Carolina is among those teams getting ready to reload for 2024, 2025 as they look to replicate the regular season success but put together a team capable of going deeper into the NCAA tournament. And with that, you got to get talent. You've got to add to your roster, add depth. And Carolina is looking to do that in a multitude of different ways. And we'll talk about all that here tonight. Before we get into the transfer portal, we have our pod thought of the day. I don't know if we've done this one before or not. It comes from Albert Schweitzer, and that pod thought is, quote, success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you are doing, you will be successful. You look at what made this Carolina team so different this past year. Is you looked at a team that genuinely loved playing basketball. And love playing basketball together. And, you know, a lot of people may not put a lot of stock into that. I think it matters more than anything, more than ever, because of how different the game is now with the portal, with recruiting, with NIL, that you got to love the guys that you go to war with 40 nights a year. Because it was very evident 2 years ago, that team didn't like one another. And whether this was forced chemistry or not, the way that Huber Davis talked about it, it was never forced. This was just a group that from the first time they got together till, you know, when we saw it up until that end of season presser, this group just connected. And there was a joy that they played with on the court. I think it's why us as fans, we were so connected with this group. I know it was for me personally, like there was something that just registered as a Carolina fan with watching that group play. The challenge is getting that same type of group once again in the transfer portal. And I think Huber Davis has done a good job adding talent. I think he's hit home runs more than he struck out. But, you know, he has missed. And if you miss, it's no guarantee that you're going to have the type of season that you want to have. And so while Carolina is busy looking to get talent into the program, you're also looking to get talent that fits your culture into Chapel Hill. That's the challenge of here for Hubert Davis. That's the challenge of every head coach in college basketball. Now we get to the transfer portal stuff. And, buddy,
where do we start?
Pretty busy day. It felt like every time we finished publishing an article, we finished sending a text or a DM to one another about the latest report, there was another report that was coming out that involved Carolina. Before we get to all the news, are you surprised that it took Carolina, you know, this long to get this officially active where what they were doing was being reported? Because, you know, their season has been over for a little bit now, but it still took them almost 2 weeks really to get full throttle in this year's version of the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd say I'm shocked, because I think that a lot of this stuff has been going on behind the scenes and it just hasn't been known. I think Carolina's been working. I believe that Hubert Davis and his staff did not start working on the transfer portal stuff until after their season concluded in Los Angeles. But I don't think that it took them this long to start reaching out to guys. I think especially with the report, we'll talk about it here in a minute, but the report with Umar Ballo, the fact that they are already, you know, talking about setting up a visit, that shows you that there has been stuff that has been going on. It just hasn't really been talked about as much. They're kind of keeping it quiet, which is, you know, it's fine. Eventually, this stuff is going to get out, especially once you start talking visits. But I think for Carolina, they kind of want to work behind the scenes. Especially because, you know, the quieter they can keep things, the easier it is to keep guys on your own roster. And I think that's the biggest thing that they're trying to do right now. Now, I'd imagine that, you know, Hubert Davis takes the same approach that I've heard Mack Brown talk about multiple times, which is that we are very transparent with our guys. I don't think that Hubert Davis has probably, you know, said things behind closed doors to Jalen Washington or any of these other guys at the positions that they're looking at and telling them that, look, you're our guy, and then going out and doing this. I think they probably know pretty well, but I still think that, you know, this is something they like to keep a little bit quieter, go about their business, and then, you know, eventually when it does come to the surface, you know, hopefully it's around the time when they're about to land a commitment. And I don't know if they're there with the three big guys that we're going to talk about. I think, you know, probably got to pick one. But I do think that, you know, they've done a good job of keeping things under wraps to this point, but they've established themselves well with the guys they need to.
Yeah, and look, we're about to dive right into this thing. Every single guy that Carolina is involved with makes sense from every angle. Like, you know, like these are the guys that you want to be involved with and need to be involved with, irregardless of the talent that you have coming back and the talent that you're bringing in. And that's kind of, I guess, maybe the downside to high school recruiting is it's still important. You still want to bring in high school talent. But now the most important recruiting season has become what you do in the transfer portal, because as we were seeing every year, there are going to be high-profile players from high-profile programs available for you to add for one reason or another. And the first guy that Carolina is involved with, and it makes a lot of sense, is Umar Ballo, the transfer from Arizona, the big man, a fixture of Tommy Lloyd's teams the last couple of years out there in Tucson. He's good, you know. He's considered the top transfer this year's cycle. You're talking about a guy that averaged a double double this past season at over 12 points per game, over 10 rebounds per game. Had 20 double doubles on the season, on the way to being, you know, an All Pac-12 player, as well as a member of the first team all Pac-12 defensive squad as well. And this was a guy that, you know, to be honest with you, when their season came to an end against Clemson, didn't think he'd transfer. But as we're learning more and more as we get it deeper into the portal era, it doesn't matter how good the player is, how good the player is in the program, and how great the program is that he plays for, that still doesn't stop that person from wanting to go somewhere else. And the second that he got into the portal, I wanted Carolina to go after him, and they have. He will be in Chapel Hill at some point this offseason. What do you make of Carolina getting involved with Umar Ballo, as I mentioned, the top transfer so far in the transfer portal for 2024?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, initially this was one of the guys, and it's an article that now will just never get posted because there's been so much that's been going on, and you'd imagine there'll be more stuff. But he was one of the guys in the article that I had about the guys that I thought Hubert Davis should have reached out to. I had him at the top of the list. And, I mean, look, I know that a lot of people look at him and say, is he really the more modern type of big that Carolina is saying they want to have? No, but he really fits to almost exactly to a T what Armando Bacot was this year. I mean, you talked about, you know, I had forgotten about that when we talked earlier. You know, my question was, is he a guy that is on the same level defensively as Armando Bacot? And I forgot that he was an all Pac-12 defensive team member this year. Now, I still think, you know, some of the things that we saw from Armando this year, especially the way that he covers out on the that he was able to cover out on the perimeter, I don't know if you're going to see that from Ballo. But, I mean, there's a lot to like here, man. It's an uber-aggressive guy. You know, plays sort of that old-school big type of role, has that same mentality, likes to be physical, you know, scores – you know, right around 13 points per game, has over 10 rebounds per game, and had 20 double-doubles this past year. So he does the exact same things that we loved from Armando Bacot. And, you know, the thing is that for him, you know, coming to this conference, I think this is, you know, still an area where he would be able to dominate. It'll definitely be a little bit of a step up in competition, a slight bit, although Arizona played some really good teams in the non-conference. And I mean, look, I think one of the things that would help him is that he would be able to talk to a guy like Caleb Love, who we played with this past season, and, you know, find out what it's like to play for Carolina, what it's potentially like to play with RJ Davis. And those are things that could go a long way towards helping him if that's ultimately the direction that Carolina goes in. But to me, this one seemed like a no-brainer that Carolina needed to get involved with.
Yeah, look, this would have been one, had Carolina not tried, there would have been a disappointment on my end to not get involved with them. I think the biggest reason why you're surprised, if you're surprised that Carolina is going after him, is because he's the same kind of mold offensively as Armando Bacot. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he is a little bit more athletic. He is a little bit more explosive. But this isn't a guy stepping out, making an 18-foot jump shot, let alone hitting a three-pointer. Like, if you play – if you know, if he comes to Chapel Hill and you know, he would be, in a no question, a starter upon arriving on campus, you're playing four round one. And whereas, like, if Jalen Washington slides into the five spot – Carolina will be able to run five-out action, mm-hmm. which is ultimately, I do think, the way Hubert Davis wants to play, because that's the way the game's being played now. And you're seeing it work for a lot of different teams at a lot of different levels. But, you know, I think the one thing that you like about him, if you had to take a look at an area that Armando could have been better at, was his physicality at the rim and his ability to make consistent plays in and around contact and turn some of those missed opportunities into and-one opportunities. And so I mean, I think for me, that's the only surprise, is just because we're starting to see the program take form and take shape under Hubert Davis from an offensive identity standpoint. Saw Carolina run a lot more NBA-esque type of stuff this year, you know, with some of their screening action to free up their shooters, the inbounds plays that we saw, the end of half plays that we saw, when Carolina would use, you know, their timeout at the end of the half. And so I guess on your end, what would you think about Balo if you were to come to Carolina, meaning that Carolina would play the same offensive style they played the last couple of years with Armando Bacot on campus?
Yeah, I don't think it would really concern me that much, especially, you know, considering the success that they had this year and the fact that you could be getting R.J. Davis back. So, I mean, if R.J. Davis is back in the fold, if Harrison Ingram is back in the fold, they know how to play in that system, and it would give them another year to sort of build on that. I don't think the system is what hurt Carolina. I think the fact that your best player went 4-for-20 in a tournament game and didn't hit a three is probably what hurts you the most. So I wouldn't mind it. The thing is that the one area that scares me with him, and a lot of people have pointed it out on social media too, is that he is a guy that shoots around 50% from the free throw line. So, I mean, we didn't talk about it. I think enough. We mentioned it, but we were focused on a lot of other areas. The way that Armando Bacot shot free throws this year was massive for Carolina, because having a guy that down low that could draw fouls and then be reliable from the foul line was huge. It had been a while since Carolina had somebody that could shoot it at that type of level from the free throw line. Now you're going back to, I mean, if you can give me one of two consistently, you feel pretty good about where you're at. That's the one thing that would concern me a little bit. But, I mean, in terms of the offense and running a similar system to this past year, I think it had so much success that I don't think anybody should really be that opposed to it, unless Hubert Davis is the guy that's opposed to it. I think their involvement, though, shows you that he's not.
Yeah, and look, you mentioned Armando's progression as a free throw shooter. It wasn't like Mondo showed up in Chapel Hill shooting 70% from the foul line. Like, it was an area of his game that he dedicated time and effort to become a better free throw shooter. You know, just going off of memory off the top of my head, when you watch Balo shoot free throws, it's not like it looks bad coming out of his, you know, it doesn't look like he's a broken foul shooter. Like, I think you put him in the gym and, you know, you dedicate time to it, you can see substantial growth and improvement in that area. Because you're right. Like, a big part for Arizona late in games was trying to figure out how do you play him. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you could go to the Hackabalo and put him at the foul line, and then you probably turn out for you better more often than not. So, but the fact that, you know, Carolina's interested in him tells you that Hubert Davis values his ability enough to maybe not move to a full five-out offensive set. And, like, I want to clarify that even when Carolina gets to having a stretch five or a big man that could stretch the floor, and Carolina's still going to put the ball inside with their big man, because, I mean, Hubert Davis, every time he talks about dominating in the paint through post penetration and offensive rebounds. Well, if he's mentioning the post, that means he still wants to put a guy on the block and get a bucket. And Balo is the guy that you could run and initiate your offense through. And I think this would be one that you know, Carolina is going to be one of the last few schools that he visits. He is going to go to, was it Louisville, Indiana, and Kansas State first. Then he's got the visits with Carolina and Florida. But, you know, depending on how the other visits go, you know, Armando Bacot said, you don't visit Carolina unless you want to commit to Carolina. Because once you're there, you pretty much want to commit. So if you're a Heels fan, I wouldn't be discouraged that Carolina is one of the last few visits that he's going on. I do think that it could play into Carolina's hands, knowing that they kind of go all out for him. to impress him and make him know that his basketball future should continue in Chapel Hill. That's not the only news that Carolina had today in the transfer portal. They also made contact with Aaron Bradshaw, the Kentucky transfer. And let's just say he's one of the Kentucky transfers that is not following John Calipari to Arkansas. He's looking for a new basketball home and a new basketball head coach. He averaged 4.9 points per game last year and 3.3 rebounds, but, you know, played, you know, just over 13 minutes, and his role diminished the further their season went along. And let's just say his desire and his want to was publicly questioned, not just by the fan base, but by the people that cover Kentucky basketball and know that program inside out. With that, though, this was a guy that upon his entrance into the transfer portal, I wanted Carolina to show an interest in. When you look at him, the stats don't blow you away, and there is some questions about the motor and the desire, but what do you make of Carolina getting involved with Aaron Bradshaw, the Kentucky transfer?
Well, it's another one of those guys that I think you had no choice but to get involved with because of what he was coming out of high school. You got to at least make contact with him. You got to figure out, you know, is the motor something that, you know, is there but just wasn't turned on at times, and it's going to be something that changes at his next stop, or is it something that, you know, you just can't really fix and you just have to deal with if you end up bringing him in? I got to be honest. I really don't want any part of him. I don't like, to me, there was nothing that blew me away about him. I know he played well in the game that he started against Carolina, but the fact that you lost playing time for this year's Kentucky team, especially down low, where, I mean, I know they brought in the guy that, you know, it took a while. I forget. I think he had – was it that he was coming up from overseas and had trouble getting his passport or something like that, or it may have been an injury to him as well. But, I mean, for Bradshaw, I mean, it was an arrogance early in the year that really just turned into laziness as the year went along. Once he hit the bench and there was any sort of, you know, splitting of minutes, he just pretty much quit. I got to be honest, nobody should want that at Carolina. It's just not worth it. I don't care how talented the kid is. The fact that, you know, reading some of the stuff on him that people have questioned this, even when he was in high school, it was basically the same thing. He had guys on his team that were better than him, and he would just say, screw it. I'm not getting the ball as much as I want to. I'm just not going to play hard. And to me, I think he should be at the bottom of this list. There are other guys that Carolina hasn't even reached out to that I would put way ahead of him right now. And all the other ones that are rumored that Carolina's reached out to that we won't even talk about here tonight, guys like Danny Wolf from Yale, Maxime Reynaud from Stanford. Like, those guys are so far ahead of him on my board. So I know Tar Heel fans were pumped about him, but I got to tell you, there would be a lot of buyer's remorse if Carolina lands him.
Yeah, this has the feel of you got to check in just because of the talent and the upside. But it's one that if you're seriously recruiting him, you're aware of the issues that, you know, allowed his role to diminish at Kentucky. And basically you got to tell him, you got to check the ego at the door, mm-hmm. and realize, you know, this is about we, this isn't about me. Something that Juber Davis talked a lot about with this past year's group was that, you know, it was about the name on the front of the jersey and not the name on the back. And so, simply the question is he worth the headache? And the early results would tell you no. But we've seen it at Kentucky under Calipari, where certain guys just ran out of favor with him for what reason, or, you know, for one reason or another. And so, you know, I think this, hopefully this is a kid that's aware of the fact that, dude, you know, your talent is only going to take you so far now. Like, now you've got to put in the work. You've got to put in the stuff that the game demands you to be a great player. And to really not waste your God-given talent to be a high-level basketball player. So I'm with you. I'm not necessarily enthralled with him being in Chapel Hill, but this was a guy that Carolina had to check in on. And this is a guy that Carolina has to do their homework on, because the talent requires it. The question is does he fit? And if he doesn't fit, if he goes somewhere else, I don't think Carolina fans should be as heartbroken as they typically would be when you would see a guy of that stature with that kind of rating or ranking he had coming out of high school not playing basketball at UNC. Last guy we got to talk about is the Rutgers transfer. And not going to lie to you, buddy, we discussed how to pronounce his last name before we got on here. I forgot how to pronounce it. So I'll give you
Amori.
Yeah, there it is. Amori. This was a guy that Carolina, you know, this guy got involved in the transfer portal. Wasn't it pretty much like the day that it opened?
Yeah, he was one of the first guys that was in. I just saw it earlier. I think it was March 20th, I think, was when he entered.
And, you know, upon entering the transfer portal, pretty much it was reported by people that do this for a living, he's not leaving the tri-state area, meaning that he's probably going to St. John's to play for Rick Pitino.
Mm-hmm.
But you said that was, what, March 20-whatever?
March 20th, I believe, yeah. Because remember, they missed the tournament this exactly. year. They were horrible. So
you're talking about almost a month, and Amori does not have a new home. And this guy was fantastic, did a lot of great things, you know, averaged over 10 points per game, nearly 6 rebounds, almost 3 blocks per game, which even in the NBA would be an insane number. When you're doing that in college, that's some like Anthony Davis type of stuff right there, being able to protect the rim. Arguably the best defensive big in the portal to date, and I don't think, you know, anyone could really change that status. Carolina, a little bit late getting involved with him, but that just got reported today. What do you make of Carolina being involved with Clifford Amori, the Rutgers transfer?
Love it. I love everything about this kid. He was another one that was right near the top of my list, because I think what people are going to think about him is that does he score the ball the way that you want to? Because he only averaged 10.4 a game this year. The thing is that if you look at the rest of his career, he's a guy that scored the ball pretty well. It was just this year, for whatever reason, he wasn't able to score it nearly as well as he did in years past. And he didn't shoot it nearly as much as he did in years past. He also had his minutes cut a little bit. And I've seen some people that say if they bring him in, then that means that Jalen Washington would be able to play because they'd split the minutes. Maybe that is what would happen. But the thing is that he still scores the ball at a pretty decent level. I mean, he's averaged more than 10.4 points per game for 3 straight seasons. And he peaked as a junior at 13.2. He rebounds the ball incredibly well, 8.3 this past year, 9.6 the previous year. But most importantly, I mean, you're talking about a guy that is as good as anybody in college basketball at protecting the rim. This past year, he averaged 2.9 blocks. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, especially with how heavy some of these teams are with their guard play. I mean, that's just a phenomenal number. This dude can do so many different things. He's a guy that's a 2-time All Big Ten member. Like, everything is there to show you that he is a good player. Now, again, he is a old school big. He is not going to step out and take threes. It's not going to happen. But the thing to remember is, and I know there are people that are panicking because I've seen this already. Well, we want a guy that can stretch the floor and shoot the ball from the outside. My question to those people would be, is that what won this year in college basketball? Take a look at 3 of the 4 teams that made the Final Four and tell me what what they all had in common. They had bigs who were the best players on their team, by the way, that could not step out and hit a three. So, I mean, it shows you that some of these old school bigs, they can win for you. So I think Carolina should be all over him. I think right there with Balo, and you could even make the case. I mean, he shoots free throws a little bit better. You could make the case, especially if it's going to keep if it's going to keep Jalen Washington around, like some people are speculating, you can make a case. This might almost be a better option for Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an interesting topic, a discussion. I think Balo, better athlete, and has his ability to be more dominating on the offensive end is there. Would love the move regardless. If we want to play hypotheticals and Amori ends up at Chapel Hill and RJ Davis and Harrison Ingram return, I think you're looking at a situation. Carolina enters 2024-2025, the favorite to win the national championship, because you would have everything that you would need. You would have a great backcourt player, a wing, and a big that can protect the rim. And so I would like the move regardless of what Ingram and Davis do. Would love the move if Carolina's adding him to a roster that's returning their two best players for next season. Because the offensive ability is there. Like you mentioned, the average was a little over 13 points per game a year ago. But if you can put offensive firepower around him and basically tell him, hey, you're going to be featured in the offense, but rebound the heck out of the ball and defend your tail off, we're going to put enough scoring around you. Man, that's something we frankly just haven't seen in quite some time. Like Armando Bacot never got that. Armando Bacot had to rebound at a high level, defend at a high level, while also be a consistent presence on the post. He did a fantastic job of that. But, you know, it's understandable why at different points in the year Armando looked worn down. So this is a move that, again, regardless of what the other guys do, you should be excited about Carolina's involvement with him.
Yep.
But if he comes back and Carolina gets a Davis and an Ingram back, the expectations, which are always high in Chapel Hill, I think will raise to the level of them being the favorite to win the national championship going into next season. This leads us to, the biggest question about a current member on the roster that we can talk about. And what does this mean for Jalen Washington? Because we like Jalen. I think Jalen has done a really nice job his first two seasons. I think considering coming off the injuries, he's exceeded expectations, carved out a role this year as a guy that can come off the bench and give you consistent production and give you consistent minutes and not really kill you while Armando Bacot was either sitting for a rest or sitting because of foul trouble. Is this a sign that maybe Hubert Davis knows Jalen Washington, like Seth Trimble, is going to transfer out of the program? Or kind of this is just another sign of the times where Hubert Davis's job is to put together the best roster for next season. And as much as we like Jalen Washington, he's not the player that Omar Balo is, that Clifford Amori is. Like, those guys could elevate Carolina to a different level that Jalen Washington can't do. And just Carolina and its staff are doing their due diligence to put together the best roster for next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the best way to lay it out, is that it is your responsibility each year, especially at this university, to put together the best roster for that season and one that can win. You're looking around, and if this team brings back RJ Davis and Harrison Ingram, there's no question. And maybe all this activity that we've seen with all of these top guys in the portal at that five position, maybe that shows you that those guys are coming back, but that right now it's quiet, or that they're going to, pursue, at least see what they can get from scouts by going to the NBA combine and then pulling their names out and coming back next year. I think there's a good chance that's what ultimately could happen. And if that is the case, then yeah, it's on Hubert Davis to piece together a roster that is capable of winning a national title. Because as dominant as UConn has been, as talented as Duke will be again next year, you're right. If they get Balo or Amori in, you feel really good about Carolina's chances to be one of the best teams in the country. And I think, with Jalen Washington, I don't know. And that's the thing. Is it possible that they could that he could have a huge year and all of a sudden we're talking about Carolina being one of the best teams in the country and competing for a national title? Oh, certainly. There's elements to his game that we really like. But we've talked about it. I mean, the thing is I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's going to have the bulk that Armando Bacot has or had, or I guess he still has. Balo has, Amori has. Like some of those guys, especially Amori and Balo, they're just built like that. And Jalen Washington is not. So for him to become a better defensive player, it's going to take a lot, man. It really is. So why would you not want somebody that can come in, be as good of a defensive player, if not better, than Armando Bacot, and potentially, be the piece that you need to help lead you to back to the Final Four and potentially to a national title? I just, in this day and age, you cannot worry about hurting guys' feelings. It's just because I'm going to tell you, it goes both ways because coaches have done it as well. But you never know when these guys are going to up and leave. You could promise Jalen Washington that you're going to be the guy, and he could still end up entering the portal. And that's anybody. That's not anything directed towards Jalen Washington. But it's your job to go out and put together a roster when you're at a school like Carolina that you say to yourself, when you look at it before the season, this has a chance to win a title. And I don't know if you can do that with Jalen Washington.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you're right, and I think it sucks for his end because, he's done nothing wrong, but the sport's different. Like pre-portal era, this isn't a conversation. Jalen Washington's your five man, and you get excited to see how he grows and develops. I'd still like to see how he grows and develops because the offensive talent is there. That ability is there. And I think he loves being a Tar Heel. I think he loves playing for Hubert Davis. But, if Carolina goes out and lands a Balo or someone else, can I get mad at Jalen Washington for going somewhere else? No, I can't. And so it's one of the things where the portal is a blessing and a curse. It's very rare. It's a win-win for everybody involved. And
well, the perfect situation, look, man, if Amori, and I mean even Balo played around 26 minutes a game this year. If you can convince Jalen Washington that he will still be a significant part of what you do and you can keep him around and have – whichever one of those two bigs end him down low, I think you'll take that in a heartbeat. And even Bradshaw, I got to be honest, if Bradshaw comes in, I mean, if you're Jalen Washington, you shouldn't go anywhere because there's a good chance you'll be starting. So.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, I think if Bradshaw comes up, my message would be, dude, this is a reclamation project for him. Mm-hmm. You're still our guy. Like, yep. we're taking a flyer on him. You're our dude. And look, maybe Jalen Washington is a guy that looks at the loyalty Carolina showed him because when he had those injuries in high school, Carolina could have said no thank you because there was no guarantee he was going to be the player that they were recruiting. And in a lot of ways, he hasn't been that player. because he's been rehabbing those injuries, and maybe he looks at that and says, "Man, I can't leave them after what they did for me." It's just you don't see that happen in today's basketball, and so it's going to be interesting. And this could be all for nothing. Carolina could swing and miss on all three of those guys. Washington stays committed. He's the starter for Carolina next year and averages, 12 points per game and 8 rebounds per game. It's all going to play itself out over the next couple of weeks. That's not all the transfer portal news we have for you. Cade Tyson, the first guy that Carolina got involved with, he has set a date to visit Carolina. We'll talk about that next, but first, we got to play you a quick word from one of our partners.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
Hey guys, welcome back inside the Four Corners Podcast, hanging out with you live on a Thursday night, talking about all the transfer portal news around the Carolina program. As they basically put it in fifth gear, it's full throttle. And Hubert Davis and this staff are working around the clock to put together the best roster for 2024-2025. We talked about Cade Tyson last week, the first guy that Carolina got involved with in the transfer portal, the sharpshooter from Belmont, of course, a local, Monroe, Matthews, Charlotte native, played as a high school basketball at Carmel Christian High School before going to Belmont. He's the brother of former Clemson Tiger Hunter Tyson, and did some big things for Belmont. Was number two in the country in three-point shooting, shooting over 46% from the three. A former Missouri Valley Conference player, or a freshman of the year, was the second team Missouri Valley Conference player this year. Just did a lot of big-time things for Belmont. And as we talked about last week, a lot of programs involved with him. Carolina had their work cut out for him, but he has set a visit. He'll be in Chapel Hill next weekend, the weekend of the spring game. So he'll get the kind of sense and the feel of a mini game day atmosphere in Chapel Hill for a football event. But that visit will follow being in Knoxville this weekend. We'll be with Rick Barnes and the Tennessee program. They're looking to replace Dalton Knecht, a guy that led them to just their second Elite Eight ever this season. Good news that Carolina, despite getting involved with him later than some of the other major programs, have done enough work to set an official visit for him. How concerned should Carolina be, and how concerned should the fans be, that it's after he goes and visit with Rick Barnes?
It's tough. To me, I wouldn't be too concerned, because of the fact that he would be coming back and playing close to home. And look, man, I know Belmont is out in the state of Tennessee. Maybe he's gotten comfortable being out there. Tennessee's got a lot to offer. I'm going to tell you exactly what their pitch is going to be to him. They're going to tell him, you can be the next Dalton Knecht.
Yep.
We brought in a guy from a mid-major conference that was the best player, one of the best players in his conference. Was a relative unknown, and we turned him into one of the best players in college basketball. So that's going to be the pitch. I think that he will be willing to hear Carolina's pitch because, let's be honest, you take a look at the two programs, which one has the track record of success? One team's never been to a Final Four.
Yeah.
So I think for him, he's going to want to hear what Carolina has to offer. For Carolina, this is one where, and I haven't seen this, but last year, and this will stick with me for a while, people questioned why we were even talking about Dalton Kincaid. Why would you talk about a dude that played at Northern Colorado? I saw, you know, some people that brought it up that said, you know, he played at Belmont. How good really is he? This would be a huge addition for Carolina. A guy that can shoot that well from the outside. And look, man, I know that Cormac Ryan shot the ball well from three coming in to Carolina last year, and he did not shoot it nearly as well as he had in his career. This wasn't a dude that was shooting 46.5% from beyond the arc. That's an absolutely insane number. And the year before that, he shot over 40% from three as well. So this is not just a one-year wonder. This dude legitimately can shoot the three ball as well as anybody in college basketball. And, I mean, you saw that, yeah, I talked to earlier about how the more old-school bigs could find a way to, you know, lead their teams to success. Well, another team that was in the Final Four was Alabama. And what did they do better than anybody else in the country for the majority of the season? Shot the three ball well. Yeah. And having a guy like Cade Tyson, I mean, this, especially if you can combine it with a guy like Amori or Balo, oh, man, now you are cooking with a team that could be one of the best in the entire country.
Yeah, and look, this is a move that even if Davis Ingram comes back, Carolina needs to make.
Well, that's your Cormac. That's the guy that takes over for Cormac.
Well, and I mean, like, in a lot of different ways, like, Carolina just needs more perimeter scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And then, look, as good as Cormac was, even the latter third of the year, it still wasn't consistently there. Like, 46% isn't a joke. Like, not at the volume that he's shooting it at. And, you know, a lot of things, you know, translate no matter the level of basketball you're playing. Shooting is one of them. The three-point mm-hmm. line isn't longer or isn't deeper in the ACC than it is in the Missouri Valley. It's just not. Like, you know, they all shoot the same distance. And so to add that type of dynamic perimeter scoring would be huge for this team. And it would do so much for RJ if he comes back, Harrison Ingram if he comes back. It would open the floor more for an Elliott Cadeau to drive the lane and live in the paint. It would make the game easier on whoever you're putting the ball down to inside. Like, this is the type of guy that would put so much pressure on the defense that it would change the way you're being guarded. And maybe this is me looking at this through Carolina blue lenses, but considering how late Carolina got in on him, I think that if he doesn't commit when he goes to Tennessee over the weekend, I think you're looking at a guy that when he gets to Chapel Hill leaves with a commitment. Because of all the things, like, he grew up 2.5 hours away. I mean, I know his brother played at Clemson. Most people don't grow up dreaming of playing basketball at Clemson. He probably grew up dreaming of playing basketball at North Carolina or at Duke. So this could be a chance for him to fulfill a lifelong dream, get closer to home to play in front of friends and family, and ultimately win and compete for a championship. And so, we outlined it that Carolina had their work cut out for them last week. The fact that they've secured a weekend visit, I think, tells you a lot about the work they've already done with him. And there should be reasons to be optimistic that this is a guy that when his visit comes to an end, could be ending with the commitment to Carolina in the transfer portal. One last thing before we get out of here, we do have some closing notes. I don't know if this was out before we recorded on Tuesday night or not, but Carolina did finish 7th in the AP poll for the 2023-2024 season. I believe it was the 39th time that Carolina has finished the season inside the top 10 since the AP poll became official. And I think that dates back to 1950. So A lot of times Carolina finds themselves in the top 10. That was the case after this year where Carolina won an ACC regular season title, was a one seed, and made it to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. And Cormac Ryan was named to the All-ACC academic team, proving that Carolina basketball players do go to class. They do get an education, and Cormac Ryan, as good as he was on the court, was as equally good off the court with all academic ACC honors. With that, that is going to wrap up this edition of the show, guys. Before we let you go, going to encourage you to visit the website, heeltoughblog.com, where if you go there now, you're going to see four transfer portal articles up on the site, articles about Bala, articles about Bradshaw, articles about Kate Tyson and Amori. Anthony working around the clock because all the news broke while I was on the air today. But that is the good thing about our schedule is that it does allow for flexibility for us to cover the news as it happens. We've been telling you to go to the website every single day. And today's one of those reasons why, because we've got you covered on every bit of news that came out on the Carolina basketball front. Still keeping you up to date on Tar Heel football. We are just under 2 weeks away from the Carolina spring game. News about that was released today. Their second scrimmage was held as well. So make sure you're checking the website every single day. The best Carolina basketball, Tar Heel football coverage. Ask for the podcast. You guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast where we will pop up. We're there. We encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the offseason. If you haven't noticed, virtually any bit of news that comes out of the program with either guys transferring out of the program, transferring into the program, or just Carolina contacting a transfer portal target, we're going to do a podcast about it. Hit that subscribe button. That way you don't miss any editions of the show this basketball offseason. Well, with that, guys, this is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Do want to thank Anthony once again for hosting with me. We want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that.